welcome everyone to another episode of the Noisecast. It's been a little minute since we've both been here at the same time. And if you're looking at this little test run that we're doing for the Patreon, you'll see me and Paul doing this in real time. So now you know Paul's here. So Paul, say hi to everyone.
Hey, it's good to be back. I've missed you.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, we've definitely missed you guys. We've missed being able to talk tech and just generally geek out. You know, it's been a very, very long decade of 2020. But, you know, we're pushing through and we're now at the tail end of it. We're in the last 2 months of the year. I'm another year older. And, you know, there's just a lot going on. You know, before we get right into the tech stuff, Paul, what's going on with you?
It's been an interesting month for me. It really has. Like, I didn't just start a whole new job. I started in a whole new industry. It's crazy.
So what's the biggest, what would you say is the biggest improvement in your quality of your life?
A big thing for me is I feel like I'm actually making a difference. I'm not on a hamster wheel. Like the jobs I do now, I'm in the mortgage industry. I'm closing loans.
Okay. So all right.
At the end of my days, I'm helping people get keys to their new house.
Nice. Congrats, man. And congrats to all those new homeowners. Soon you'll be getting a call from me, Paul.
Well, hit us up. We got a great company. We're growing fast. We don't have any in New York, but hey, still help you out.
Yeah, no, I might need that home loan soon. Got the plug now, so we can do this. But yeah, so congrats, man. Like I know I've said it on social media before, but I just want to be able to kind of tell you face to face, you know, congrats, and I'm really happy for you, man. I know this was kind of like a big jump because it's such a different industry and just, you know, kind of getting way outside of your comfort zone, right? So congrats to you again, man.
Well, thanks. It did really require a leap of faith. Like I had to make sure it was something, and it helps that my wife set up. Like my wife does okay, so had something went horribly wrong, we would at least have that to fall back on.
Yeah. Well, no, that's good, man. Like I'm happy to hear that you guys are just like doing it and in a good space. Just like generally, you seem happy, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I am. How you been though? I saw yesterday was your birthday.
Yes. So for those who may not know, yesterday was, in fact, my birthday. That's it. Hung out with the family. My wife and I, enjoyed a nice dinner, enjoyed some nice drinks. We were pre-gaming from Saturday night. And then at some point yesterday, I said, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to chill with the drinks and I'm just going to drink some water and, you know, go for a walk and let this whole alcohol thing flow over me. But yeah, good times, man.
How old are you now?
Oh, 38. Yeah. Approaching that fourth decade.
It's nice though. Your 30s are a good time. I'm 35. Mm-hmm. And my 30s have just been excellent, other than 2020. But regardless of the shit going on in the world, 2020 has been a good year for me personally, which actually I feel guilty about.
Nah, don't feel guilty, because honestly, like, somebody has to like come out on top of this. So, like, I'm glad that it's you. So, you know, speaking of a weird 2020. Officially today, we're recording on Monday, November 23rd. And, so it's official. Michigan goes to, President-elect Joe Biden.
It's been official for about 2 weeks now. There was never a chance of it going any other way since like the 7th is
when it was announced. No, no, like, make no mistake, it, like, we've known, but now, like, there's no sidestepping it, and there's no bullshitting around. Like, it's done. And, you know, I would say, like, now's the time to gracefully bow out, but, like, it was time to gracefully bow out on November 3rd.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I will say that.
Well, November 6th, like, yeah. Realistically, November 6th, 7th, yeah.
Yeah, because I woke up on November 4th, and November 4th wasn't a good day for me.
Yeah, it was looking very different. But no, in all seriousness, though, like, you know, oddly enough, I will say this: the Republican canvasser, right? Like, is that their official title? The person in Michigan who finally called the election in Michigan. I forget their official title or whatever it is that they do or are. But I will say this. Thankfully, there are still some people who get into political positions and government jobs because they believe in the institution of the government and not because they don't believe in the institution of government. And that's what I will say. Like, that's the only thing I will say about that. I don't know this person. I don't necessarily know their politics, but I do know that when it came down to it, they said, nah, I believe in the system, and there's no way that we can, that we're going to go and try to, you know, try to throw an election because of party. So.
You have seen that in quite a few states. Even in Georgia, our Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, he's been very adamant about the fact there was no malfeasance in Georgia.
It's been
pretty exciting to see the turnout in Georgia and the fact that we have the runoff January 5th. I know it's going to be a long time before it's over for me.
Right. And it's actually a huge deal because you guys are going to determine you know, the majority in the Senate. Is that correct?
It is 100% correct. If both Democrats win January 5th, the Democrats will thus have a majority in the Senate and defeat Moscow Mitch. Like, fuck the turtle forever.
Yeah, man. It's funny. My wife affectionately, not so affectionately, calls him Turkey Neck. So... Turtle, I mean, there's so many, it's all the same.
There's so many kind nicknames for him all over the internet.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, man. So that's I got to say, like, coming off of that news, coming on a high. Also, just, you know, just got to say that I'm going to have to eat my words. Now, you know, I've never been one to promote wearables because I never quite understood them, and I never quite got one that I enjoyed. But my wife actually bought me a Series 6 Apple Watch, and I kind of dig it. I really like it.
Well, that's awesome. Is the Series 6 the new one?
Yeah, it's still with all the different sensors, and yeah, it's like I've officially I've given up, and I am now giving all my health data to Apple.
It's nice in regards to that. It actually makes me want an Apple Watch. It's the Apple Watch has me considering switching to the Apple ecosystem.
Oh man, there's plenty of room for you here, sir. You'll be welcomed with open arms and an open wallet.
I've kind of become a fit bro this year, I guess. So it's just like all the health data, because I track all my calories and all my food intake religiously. So it just seems like the logical next step.
Oh yeah. Now, if you're definitely like you're into fitness in a way that resembles like my wife's dedication to fitness. So, you know, I will tell you unequivocally, you will love the hell out of a Apple Watch. Like the only thing I can think of that would be similar might be, I want to say Garmin. my Garmin's smartwatch. For your specific uses.
I have a Garmin and I like it. I'm wearing it right now, but it's just not as seamless. Like, for I can see the Apple Watch working seamlessly with iOS.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, that's the reality is that's kind of why you get into the Apple ecosystem. You know, there's this certain level of seamlessness that even when you know, obviously the only competitor really is Android. Even when Android tries to do it, it doesn't quite work the same way. So before, you know, going back to the beginning of the month, my wife's phone completely gave out and she refused to replace her phone. So she's one of those people who will buy a piece of technology and she will hold on to it until it can go on no more. All right. She's not going to switch her phone every year. She had a iPhone 6S and she was in no rush to get rid of it or upgrade. And then the phone just outright died. Like it would not power back on. And you know, that meant that she ended up with a iPhone 12. But in the meantime, she was using my 7 Plus. She was using my 7 while waiting for her phone to arrive, which meant that I was back on my Galaxy Note 9. And I use a Windows boot disk for work at times. And, you know, I try to like just kind of use Windows and the Android and have like the Android kick the messages over to Windows, and it never really worked well. Like it would work sometimes and then it wouldn't work. And it was just kind of like a little bit of a nightmare. I thought it was such a pain in the ass to get to work. And then there's just like the little things that that they don't work the way they should work. So like for one thing I can think of is like my AirPods. Like I open up the charging case, take them out, put them in my ear, and my phone and watch all know that it's connected. With the Android device, like I didn't have that same kind of like instant connection. And you know what? It's a total first world problem. It took all of 2 seconds for it to pair. But those 2 seconds, I was like, what the hell? Is it not connecting? So it's just me being nitpicky, but like once you've experienced that, it's really noticeable when it doesn't work that way.
Well, I'm the same way, even then with my Galaxy Buds that I have and my new Sony headphones, sometimes it's still intermittent. It things don't always play as nice as you want them to.
And yeah.
I can definitely say the benefit to it's mocked, but the walled garden approach to making sure everything works seamlessly and not worrying so much about the third parties, just focusing on the first party solutions, the same as Nintendo does with their games.
Yeah. It's funny because like that's actually a really good analogy, because if you think about it, Microsoft and Sony are at each other's throats right now trying to pitch the best case for their next-gen console and why, you know, you should pick one or the other. And they're both almost going exclusively for, you know, just kind of like the performance specs, you know, who can outperform which platform and how many frames you're going to get in games and in full 4K resolution and, HDR style games and televisions, the whole bit. And meanwhile, Nintendo is out here printing money on the Nintendo Switch because they have games that people want to play.
Well, that's all it comes down to me as a gamer. Like, yes, some games on the PlayStation 5 that look amazing, but I can tell you this, if I could play them on my PlayStation 4 that I already own, I probably would.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing. So right now, full disclosure, I will be buying a PlayStation 5 It's not a matter of, you know, the only reason why I don't have it is because I was not going to stay. I wasn't going to wake up at 5 a.m. to start hitting refresh. But basically once they're back in stock and there's more regular availability to them, I will be buying one. But realistically, I probably will be playing all of my existing PlayStation 4 games and the new Spider-Man game. And that's really it, because I'm not really into Call of Duty. I'm not into, like, I'll probably be checking more so for like some of those indie games that come out on, like, you know, like the PlayStation Store, you know, like those one-off things that are a little bit weird or kind of not from a big developer, just because it's like they have more interesting games than I feel like a lot of the big name developers. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Well, the free PlayStation Plus games are always excellent to kind of try them. It encourages you to get outside of your comfort zone, and the games are free, so you're not even outmatched. That's how I got into Rocket League for a long time, was they gave it away 1 week or one month.
Yeah.
And I got, you know what, it's super the funniest thing. Into Rocket League.
Are you still playing? Because I have not, like, so I have it, but I haven't played it yet. And I actually have it from the Steam days when it was big on Steam.
I don't have it anymore. I plateaued. Like, I got as good as I was going to get. So I got frustrated with it, because I kept getting I would get to a certain point and then I would just start getting my ass kicked again. I felt like Sisyphus.
I
lost interest, but I have probably had thousands of hours in the game by the time that happened.
Yeah, okay. I definitely hear you on that. So here's the funny thing. So, and this is a really quick, good COVID story, if you can even have those. So in the middle of the pandemic, there was a guy who reached out for a business proposal. And, you know, we kept trying to, like, set up a time to talk, and we couldn't really, like, my schedule was always busy, his schedule, like, didn't really quite worked out. And he was just like, you know what, like, he's just like, let's do like a happy hour. And I'm like, I really don't want to do a virtual happy hour. Like, that's the dumbest thing in the world. And I get why people do it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking you if you're doing it, because I've sat on a number of virtual happy hours. But I just, it just, you know, it just doesn't beat being out and with people, if that's what you're aiming to do. But this guy, reached out and he sent me an invite to be part of his, Grand Theft Auto, I don't know what they're called, like gangs or whatever, like, or whatever they're called. But I was part of his Grand Theft Auto crew. And this guy was basically selling software while we were planning bank heists. And it was one of the most productive 90-minute, quote-unquote, happy hours that I had this entire time. So if you're out there and if you're trying to pitch me something, especially after hours, you better have a very good multiplayer game in mind, because otherwise I'm not listening.
That's actually impressive to be able to do that. I'm just impressed by this guy and his pitch. I wasn't there. I know nothing about it. But just the idea to have that idea and do a good pitch so non-traditionally.
Oh, yeah, man. That was it. I was like, yo, this guy's serious. So I was like, all right, let's do this then. Let's do it. So, you know, it definitely caught my attention. So that was one good thing that's come out of this pandemic. And it's definitely something that I think we need to find, like, especially if we're going to do Zoom, like, you need to find like some good games. Like my friend Chris, a.k.a. the Phoblographer, did an Among Us, like, basically meetup. And I don't know, do you know of Among Us?
I know of Among Us, but I will admit I'm terrible at games like that. I'm a terrible liar. I'm obvious, yeah, no, if I'm guilty and things like that. I'm bad at those games.
Okay. Well, you know, with the right, set of people, it can be a ton of fun. So he basically did an Among Us, basically get together. Like, he hosted it on Twitch. You know, it was a good time. Unfortunately, I did not get to participate because Optimum decided to crap out and I did not have internet this past weekend. So I haven't had internet, reliable internet, since November 6th. So shout out to you, Optimum, for being a bag of shit.
What happened November 6th that changed?
That's a damn good question. And they refused to admit that there's been a service outage, even though their automated system says that there are service outages. And the reason why they refuse to say that there's been a service outage is because they would owe me money.
That just sounds like a steaming bag of shit.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to you, Optimum.
Shout out to you for being a steaming bag of shit.
Can I say Optimum one more time?
Yeah, Optimum. let's get all the scrubbers going on. Let's get it in the Twitter feed somehow.
Yeah, for real. But no, like, I don't know if you saw, but I had it just last week. I found myself yelling into the void at Optimum's support Twitter. And it's funny because it took them a week to respond to me. Like, just this morning is when they responded to me. Like, that was literally last Monday.
Their headquarters is probably having an outage too.
Yeah, that must be it. But yeah, so, you know, Chris, if you're listening, man, I'm sorry I couldn't make it to the Among Us party, but I definitely will be at the next one. Hopefully, I will actually have internet to do so. And yes, I understand that it's on your phone, but if, you know, I'm going to have Twitch open and my phone going, I'm not going to switch back and forth. That's just a pain in the ass.
Well, hopefully they get that straightened out. I'm actually impressed by Comcast here lately. We had a hurricane come through Atlanta a few weeks ago, took down my fence.
Jeez.
Took down my fence, took down a neighbor's tree. I still didn't lose my internet.
Wow. Okay. Go Comcast.
Yeah. That's a sentence like, I never thought I would say.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Like, it's funny because I was actually so related to my internet woes this month. I finally broke down and I called up T-Mobile and I said, listen, I got a situation. I need to up my hotspot privileges on my plan. What are my options? And they were just like, all right, well, we're going to give you a certain number. I think it's like 10 gigabytes of 4G and then unlimited 3G after that. Using my phone as a hotspot. And they were just like, you know, and that's $10 extra a month. I was like, you know what? Done. Just give me the damn thing. I'll pay whatever you have to. Whatever I got to pay, I'll pay. Just give me the thing because I need to be able to log in for work and also, you know, be in contact with the outside world. And I didn't ask for it, but they turned around and said, dude, you're having a really shitty time right now. We're going to give it to you for free. And damn. I was like, for real? I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, yes, please.
Yeah, so, it's not, $10 a month isn't bad, but it's still $10 a month. So, hey.
Yeah, no, not only that, it's just like, you know, I am now on a podcast talking about how great T-Mobile is because somebody in their customer service arm has been empowered to say, you know what, this costs us $10. And it probably doesn't cost them $10. Like, you know, it's like, oh, nope. This is $10. It's like, this is $10 that we're not going to charge you. But, you know, I think they understand and they know that you're going to go around and you're going to tell everyone who will listen, you know, I was having this really shitty time, but, you know, T-Mobile came through and they did right by me. So you should probably give your business to T-Mobile, which is not an endorsement of T-Mobile, by the way. But, you know, I would recommend them if you're leaning that way.
I'm with AT&T, and I truthfully, at this point, I don't know why I'm still with AT&T other than just habit. I've had the same phone number and the same phone bill ever since I've had a phone 17 years ago. I don't see a point in changing.
You know what? 2020 has been a really weird year. So, you know, we're going to excuse it and just say, like, just hasn't changed. Don't change it now.
Exactly. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah. So speaking of changes, there is some big tech news that is a little dated now. It's it was announced 2 weeks back at this point. Apple introduced their new line of MacBooks and the Mac Mini using their M1 processor. The reason why this is a big deal is because this is the first time since 1999? No, maybe a little bit. No, it might have been a little bit later. But basically, this is the first time in close to 20 years that they are not using Intel chips on their Macintosh computers. As we all know, the x86 architecture from the Intel chips is what allows the MacBooks to both run the Mac OS as well as the Windows OS on the same hardware. It completely brought the Mac lineup back to life. Not everyone was like me, who was using a G3 PowerBook back in the day. Or a G4 Cube, for that matter. I've been on this Apple train for some time, but it was rough back then. Like, there was no, I had to use some bootleg version of Microsoft Office if I wanted a decent word processor. Like, times were rough. Times were rough if you were on Mac. But now with this M1 processor, the big story here is that they are claiming amazing performance boosts as well as unheard of battery life. So something like 17 hours for the MacBook Air, I believe 16 hours on the MacBook Pro. And for the first time in probably ever, the MacBook Air isn't just, thin and light, but something that you can actually do real work on. They showed during the intro, they showed the MacBook Air being used for, along with Final Cut, doing 4K video editing. My trusty MacBook Air that I'm using right now would probably die and burn itself if I try to edit video of any kind. But that's not why you bought a MacBook Air. You bought it because it was the lightest notebook that you can have that can still do actual computing. That I found to be really interesting this month, especially, considering that the price points are unchanged. So, the starter MacBook Air comes in at $999. The starter 13-inch MacBook Pro is, I believe, $1,299. Obviously, when they get configured, price will go up. There are some things that I don't like. So the biggest one is that Thunderbolt ports. You only get two on the MacBook Air. The MacBook Air only gets two. The MacBook Pro only gets two. And one of those Thunderbolt ports has to be used for power. So really, you only have one input port.
That's wow. That's the lack
that sucks.
Of ports. It's definitely a problem. But it is exciting to see.
Yeah, and
of course, it's a lot of talk. So it's going to change. Things will be different once it gets in the real world and day-to-day use for people. But it is exciting to see what they're attempting with the M1 chips, if their claims are anywhere close to accurate.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I gotta say that at least from, and this is me just kind of going by, I haven't bought one, so no, I don't know from firsthand usage, but I just looking around online, seeing what people have people who have actually bought these things and put them to use, Marcus Brownlee, I believe Joanna Stern did a review on the MacBook Pro as well. Basically, it seems like it tracks, like not for everything, but most things, right? So like obviously there is a matter of optimize apps, and I put that up in big air quotes because, you know, obviously if you pick the if you cherry pick and you have certain developers that you've worked with to make sure that their version of their software is completely tricked out to work with this new hardware, you're going to get way different results from, you know, versus like something that doesn't work that way. But the good news is that you don't have to throw away all your existing apps, right? So like the biggest one for most people is going to be the Microsoft suite of Office software. Technically, it doesn't run on the new M1 chips, but they are essentially emulating the software so that it can run on the new hardware. And, you know, in terms of like performance hits, they're negligible, you know, at least from the reviews that I've seen. So I am excited to check it out. I'm actually even considering the MacBook Air again, even though I do probably need to buy a MacBook Pro. I am considering the MacBook Air just because I want to see just how far you can push this thing.
That is, do you do a lot of video editing and stuff day to day, or what will you be using it for?
So primarily, like I would be using it for the editing of the podcast, obviously, and so for some of my photo editing. You know, currently, you know, it will. I can do most photo editing with my current MacBook Air, but I almost, no, not almost. Every single time I do any kind of serious editing, I need to not use the display on this thing because it's not really color corrected. I do actually have to use a separate screen that is color corrected so that I can get like actual color representation on that monitor. The good news about the new MacBook Airs is that they do have displays that are optimized for video and photo editing. So that's a big plus. And in terms of just being able to handle the workflow, that I would love to see. You know, again, they're using the Affinity Photo software instead of like, say, something like Photoshop or Lightroom, which I do use. But the word is that they're already working on their updates. So I imagine that by the time I have one of these MacBook Airs in my possession, that an Adobe software update, you know, would be forthcoming.
We're going to see more of it coming too. I mean, it was something that was just announced a couple of weeks ago. So more and more you'll see these developers optimizing and finding out how best to make use of these new chips and everything.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, this is so, you know, I think about very early in when we were just casually reading a certain tech blog, and one of their writers decided that they were going to use an iPad for work instead of a computer. And, you know, we trashed them and said, oh, this is a first gen thing. You should know better. But I know better. It's a first gen thing, but I'm willing to work with it. I mean, you know, it's not like I don't have an x86 Intel powered laptop somewhere. I do. I have this computer that works perfectly fine. You know, I could even use if push came to shove, I could use the MacBook Pro that I use for work. You know, again, they're all perfectly good computers. They all work perfectly fine. But, you know, I know that my 2015 MacBook Air is a little long in the tooth. I know that it, you know, you hear the fans running almost constantly. So I do wonder if it's going to take off or just burst into flames one day. So, yeah, it's about that time to start looking into something new. And, you know, why not? Why not give it a shot?
Well, all that being said, what's your opinion on the Mac Mini? Because I saw that that's supposed to be their desktop, but at the same time, it doesn't seem to be user upgradable.
Yeah. So that's like I forgot that I have a camera now. I can't be moving my computer like that. So the Mac Mini. Without a doubt, that is one of the things that I absolutely do not like about the M1 chips, because it's basically a system on chip, right? So everything is built into this chip. So that's why the RAM has to be soldered into it. That's why, you can't do any user upgrades. And also that means you can't do any user repair, right? So like... usually what happens if the solid state hard drive that you're using on your computer like craps out, you know, sucks, but you can probably buy the part and swap it out yourself. That's not going to be an option here. And that's definitely not going to be an option on the Mac Mini, which I don't think I will ever get to a point where I can justify the purchase of a Mac desktop.
Well, it's hard to justify it, and because the desktop is going to be something you purchase with the intent to hold on to quite a while,
right?
And
right.
Thus, with that, you're dating yourself, you're limiting yourself.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like I cannot in good conscience think that I am only going to use a computer, or specifically a desktop computer, for let's say 4 years. You know, like 4 years is nothing in, you know, like, well, actually 4 years is forever in computing terms. You know, like usually, like even by the time, like you buy the newest, latest video card, you're already, your entire system's pretty much dated at that point. And that comes from a time where I was like big into building like gaming rigs. I can't see myself spending $3,000 or even $2,000 on a Mac Mini where I'm basically stuck, you know, forever with 16 gigs of RAM. Like that's just a hard pass for me.
That is. And I guess that's kind of the trade-off you're getting, because it is going to be optimized really well over time, but mm-hmm. It is something that's inherently going to slow down. There's no avoiding that.
Yeah. And then, you know, again, like the worst thing is, you know, let's say I believe the Apple Care protection plan, which, by the way, is great. I just want to say that the Apple Care protection plans are legitimately good, and they're great deals, because you actually get, you know, replacements and service for it. Unlike, you know, some of the store protection plans that they make you jump through hoops to ever use. You know, 3 years, you have 3 years of coverage. Are you really prepared to buy a new machine after 3 years? Because usually what happens, and this is something that I really do not like, and it's something that I hate the fact that Apple is so notorious for doing, is that if you are out of your protection plan and you take your machine to be serviced, they will almost always try to convince you to buy a new one, even if it's a simple fix.
That seems frustrating.
And, you know, it's super frustrating because, you know, like we talked about it, you know, a number of episodes back. One of the biggest problems with technology today is that they're almost like they're building new devices with the intent that they will be obsolete on purpose in a refresh cycle. So, you know, if you like to tinker, if you just want to get the absolute most out of your purchase, you can't, because in 2 years, when they plan for this thing to no longer be the latest greatest, you find yourself having to buy the whole damn thing all over again. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just not made out of money. I can't do that.
Even if I was made out of money, even if I was more wealthy, I just wouldn't want to. It's a waste.
And yeah, absolutely. And, you know, not for anything. It's just like, could you imagine if every time your car ran out of gas, you had to buy a new one?
Damn.
And that's kind of like where we're at. And I'm like, you know, I feel like that's not something that just, oh, by the way, Apple's full of shit with their whole, we took away the charging brick so we can save the earth. Like, you took away the charging brick so you could charge somebody for it. That's all it is.
And I hate the save the earth thing, because Google's doing it too, and all the companies are doing it too. Because if they really wanted to make a difference in regards to the environmental waste and the electronic waste, which is a super big deal, they would make it easier to repair the devices. No matter how efficient, no matter how recyclable a device is, if you can hold on to a device longer, it's still better. 100% of the time.
Yeah. It's like this. Like, if you really care about the environment, you don't buy a Tesla. You buy a 10-year-old Civic. You know, it's like, be honest. Like, you're buying a Tesla because you want the Tesla, not because you're trying to, you know, save the planet. Like, if you're trying to make sure that everything doesn't end up in a landfill, you're not gonna, you don't buy a brand new, you know, we cleared out a forest to build this one car. You buy the car that's already been on the road for a number of years and still runs.
Exactly.
It's like, but I get it. So,
I get it. I definitely understand the consumerism mindset, but at the same time, it comes down to the fact to just be honest with yourself.
Oh, sure.
And it's almost insulting when the companies aren't honest with us. Like, you can't claim to love the environment while fighting against right to repair laws.
Right, basically. You know, it's performative wokeness. That's what that is. It's like, it's... I guess the actual way of describing it is virtue signaling, because you're saying, oh, we care about the environment, we care about going green, we want to save the turtles. But in reality, what you're doing is you're trying to make a buck. And, you know, I'd rather you be upfront and tell me I'm trying to make a buck. Because then guess what? That's up to me. Like, I don't have to buy your $200 headphones. I can go and buy the cheapest pair of headphones I can get my hands on, or not buy headphones.
It's funny that you say headphones, because headphones are one of my weaknesses.
Oh man, I listen. There was a time where I was buying headphones every like couple of months. So what are you working with these days?
The Sony WH-1000 MX4.
Okay. Are those the ones you got on now?
These things are incredible. I got them plugged in now, so I don't really have any of the active noise canceling capabilities, but it's so nice. And the only reason I bought them was because my other ones weren't as comfortable as I thought they should be. Like the other headphones I'd spent $250 on.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, look, we all have our vices. Don't feel bad. Look, I was trying to justify a camera that costs more than my car currently is valued at.
Yeah. But these things, that being said, if you're looking for a comfortable pair of headphones, I literally wear these 6 hours a day most of the time. And they're just incredible. They sound good. The battery's good. The most annoying thing about them is the fact that Sony gave me a 4-inch charging cable for them.
So I take it that you're either not supposed to ever charge them, or you're never supposed to wear them while charging.
I'm guessing it's the latter, but it's still like, wow. Like, because when I had to charge them for the first time the other day, because they do have an insane battery life. They have like 35 hours or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So I had to charge them for the first time the other day. They were an early Christmas gift for my wife.
Nice.
Yeah. And
very nice.
And I broke out that charging cable, and I was like, that's almost embarrassing, Sony.
Well, you know, they're trying to protect the save the earth by giving you less cable to use.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what it is.
But so you use them pretty much 6 hours a day. Like, are those kind of like the work cans? Like, you know, you put them on to let everyone know.
These are definitely the work cans, just because if I'm getting into something, it's nice to just be able to turn them on and not have to worry about anything else. Like, I can't hear anything else, and it's nice. It's meditative almost.
Nice, very nice. So, so obviously, it's just like, you know, like sound wise, how's that working out?
Out of the box, they were just okay. I had to go in and adjust the equalizer a bit because they were a bit too bass heavy on the end. But they do have a nice clean bass. They have a good low end, but I'm not drawn to the really heavy low end. So, but they have a very powerful equalizer. They have a lot of smart features, that like the touch controls and everything, which is really nice. I would definitely recommend them, especially the fact that you can pair to two devices, which was one of the big selling points to me.
Okay, very nice. So that's actually pretty good, because like I realized that we don't really have one device that we tend to use at any one given time, right? Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, at work, I would need the headphones on my computer. So I do the Switch quite often. So, like, the cans you see here, like, these are... This is a gaming headset. It's like a SteelSeries something or another. And while it's perfectly fine for, like, using with the computer, when my phone rings and I don't, you know, have it hooked up with... like, I don't have my phone hooked up to my work laptop, so I can't answer calls from the computer. I have to do the Switch, and I have to, like, take these off and then put on, like, my other headphones. And that's a little bit annoying. So, that just sounds really convenient.
That's actually part of the reason I like them, is when I have to make phone calls at work, I can just leave the headphones on, pause the music, and then make the phone call, and it'll still come right through my headphones.
Nice.
Yeah, that's nice. That's so nice.
That's so cool, man. So, I gotta say, we covered a lot today, actually. You know, I didn't really think we were gonna get to as many things as we did, but you know, here we are.
I didn't either, and I know we always talk about recording more, but I really think we should. I've enjoyed talking to you. I always enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, it's always a good time. I much enjoy it. You know, and I think now it's safe to say that you kind of have a more normalized schedule now, as is, right?
It's kind of crazy this year, thinking about the fact that not only will I not have to work Thanksgiving, I kind of get like a 4-day weekend, which is just nice. It's like a little mini vacation this weekend.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Congrats. Yeah. I am very technically working this Friday.
What do you mean technically working?
Well, I'll be getting up and logging on. I can't really say nothing because I really don't expect you know, too much activity on my end. So I'll probably be halfway through the turkey coma by that point.
I'll have my laptop home with me in case I need to take care of anything, but so much stuff is already closed this Friday. I don't see any of that. I don't see that really happening. It'll be nice.
So are you going to be on the, I guess on the consumer end of Black Friday this year, or are you going to just sit it out?
I'm going to sit it out. The idea of shopping on Black Friday just doesn't appeal to me at all. And yeah, I almost considered a new Google, like one of the new Pixel phones, but the Google Black Friday deals this year are just almost embarrassing. Like, if you're only going to knock $50 off the phone, why even have the deal?
You know, I totally agree with you on that one. Also, you know, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned the Google Pixel phone. So although I am very, very heavily leaning on the possibility of buying a new iPhone, I realize that I do like to keep a spare Android around. So I think I'm probably going to sell that Samsung and see about getting like one of the Pixel phones. Probably like yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I don't think you need anything more than that.
My wife uses the 4A as her daily driver, and it works out great for her. It's just a great little phone.
Yeah, they seem so. I got a chance to test out the Pixel 3A. I guess I want to say like about a year and a half or so ago. And honestly, I found it to be quite nice. Like, you know, it didn't wow me, but at the same time, it wasn't supposed to. Like, it's just supposed to be a really good phone, and that's what I really like so much about it.
It's not really a phone that wows you, but the price to performance ratio, I guess, is how you would say it. You can't beat it.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, it's just like, most like, no, this is exactly what I want. Like, I don't, you know, I hate to say it, but like a lot of the features that most flagship phones have, I will never use. Nope. And I realize that it's because I've hit
a
certain
age. I
really
don't care that. And I really don't care that the chip is a little bit faster or a little bit more optimized or whatever. If I'm just scrolling through Facebook and Reddit and Twitter and stuff, like,
if I
have to wait 0.1 more seconds, I'm. It's not going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, like in all seriousness, I'm doom scrolling. I'm not gonna, you know, like I'm not doing anything really productive on my phone. Like I'm answering work emails and doom scrolling. Like that's literally what, you know, my mobile phone usage is these days. Like I have never once said, "Let me take this iPhone to a photo shoot because we're gonna do this whole thing on an iPhone."
Yeah, man. That's basically my phone usage, other than the fact that I take a shit ton of selfies. Like,
well, no, that's good. I'm like, see, you at least can say that. I'm like, if someone told me you have a 50 megapixel front facing camera on your next phone, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with it because I don't take selfies.
I don't know. I'm like a 14 year old girl with the amount of selfies I take.
That's all right. Keeps you young, sir. Keeps you young.
Yep.
So, you know, listen, I think I will be looking at probably a Pixel 4a just to kind of have a backup phone that's a little bit newer than that Samsung. But again, you know, it's like it's not a biggie.
But well, I think that's about it for me tonight. I appreciate you having me on again, man. I appreciate getting a chance to talk with you.
As always, man, like it's always a good time. I'm glad that you was able to do this. I know we were trying to, you know, get some time to do this recording. So I appreciate you making the time this evening. And yeah, let's leave it there. Let's sign off, man.
Well, that's awesome.
All right, everyone. Thank you for checking us out this evening. Again, what we're going to do is we've been testing out the new Zencastr beta version. They now do video along with the audio recordings. We are going to put those up on our Patreon. Just cause, like, you know, I figure we got to do something with that Patreon, do something different there. So that might be the way to go. We'll throw those up there completely unedited, you know, just me and Paul shooting breeze. And yeah, so Paul, let them know where they can find you.
Well, I'm just on Twitter @ComesPaul. You can always follow me for political and movie hot takes.
There you go. You were overdue for a movie episode, so I think that's the next one we do.
I'm always on board with that.
Awesome. All right, everyone. As always, you can find the podcast on your podcast app of choice. We're on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you may find wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on social media at Noisecast on Facebook and Twitter, and we're at The Noisecast on Instagram. Once again, this is Alberto signing off. Peace. Good night, everyone.